Would you pray with me, please? So, Father, we recognize that you are here among us this night, and we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that you're a good God and that you care to be with us and to give us your word. I pray that you would inspire this time, these words, to be food for your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are not from this tradition, then what we do on Ash Wednesday in an Anglican church must seem very odd. Or if you're new to this tradition, it must seem very odd. A minister would come by and smudge your forehead with ashes and say to you, basically, you are going to die. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. It's a strange thing. We do this once a year, and it highlights one of the real key Bible lessons, that if we get this lesson right, then everything else seems to stack up. It seems to make sense. And it's the Bible lesson about basic human nature. And it teaches us that we are created in the image of God for a relationship with God and capable of that relationship with God. But because of the fall, because of Adam's disobedience, we have fallen far away from what we're meant to be by God's design. We hear the words, you are dust, and to dust you shall return, in the context of Scripture. I guess for the longest time, I experienced Ash Wednesday in our tradition and never realized that these words are from Scripture and they come from a specific context. And the context is of creation in the fall. And so Adam and Eve in the garden were told that they could eat of any of the trees of the garden except for one tree. The Lord took Adam and put him in the garden, it says, to work and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you must surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. What a strange thing. God is basically saying to Adam and Eve, you can eat anything here, you can eat it all, but don't touch that one tree in the middle of the garden, because if you do, the consequence for that misbehavior, that disobedience, is going to be death. And so we know what happens in the story, how they disobeyed God and they ate of the one tree that they shouldn't have eaten. And the consequence is real. Death came to all of humanity. It was no death before, but now death is very real. And so in response to their disobedience, what Adam and Eve do is they try to cover up for their sins. And you know the story, how they begin to sew fig leaves together to cover up for their shame, for their disobedience. And it's not an adequate cover for their sin. And so God kicks them out of the garden, and he punishes them, and he pronounces his punishment upon them, the punishment that they deserve. They knew better, but they disobeyed God. And the first thing that he does is he makes an adequate covering for their sin and for their shame. And he kills an animal, and he makes clothes out of that animal. And that's the adequate covering for their sin. The shedding of blood, it's a necessity for the covering of sin. And then he pronounces his judgment upon Adam and Eve. And this is what he says to Adam. In part, he says, remember, for you are dust, and now to dust you shall return. So it's in the context of our fall, of our failure, of our inability to live up to God's standards, of our disobedience to God, that God pronounces that death is now a present reality. In effect, Ash Wednesday is putting death up in front of us, and it's saying, take a look at your life in the context of that. That's death. Now, how does that make a difference in the way that you live today? It's also a reminder that death is a very present reality in each of our lives. Whether we're facing imminent physical death or not, the spiritual death and separation that disobedience caused and causes is a reality. What it says to us is that we have no hope whatsoever of reaching up to God. We have not a prayer of reaching up to His standards or pleasing Him apart from Him reaching down into our lives and picking us up from where we are. And so the spiritual death is complete. It's real. And until God does something, until He sends His only Son, until that only Son dies on the cross, do we have any hope of reconciliation with our God? And it's so real, the next couple chapters talk about how that sin pervades all of humanity. We hear in chapter 6 that Noah is the righteous man, but he says this, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intention of the hearts of his heart was only evil continually." That's harsh. But that's the reality of the spiritual death that we all experience in the separation we have with God because of our connection to Adam and Eve and the fall. We're fallen creatures. And once again, if we get this right, then we'll understand, we begin to understand the greatness of grace that reaches down into our life. But if we don't get this right, then we miss it. And so we read further on how our righteousness are as filthy rags, the prophet says. Our best attempts to reach up to God are as filthy rags. They don't even begin to measure up. We hear that even before we were born, we are sinners, according to Psalm 51. We hear Paul so clearly say this when he talks to the Ephesians and he writes, "You are dead in your trespasses and sins." And so there are no degrees of deadness. You don't get partially dead or somewhat dead. You know, this is not Monty Python. This is biblical Christianity. And so when he pronounces, "You're dead in your trespasses and sins, and by nature children of wrath," it couldn't be a bleaker picture. And so God wants us to know, first of all, when we have smudge of ashes put on our forehead, that we're reminding ourselves of death that has entered into the world and our own spiritual death before God, apart from God working in us. But again, in our tradition, the cross is imposed on foreheads with ashes for death, but it's in the form of a cross to remind us that the adequate covering for sin, for human sin, is Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And so we're reminded each time we have ashes imposed that Jesus has given himself up to death on the cross for our sins. And so we read in the second epistle of Corinthians tonight, how he became sin so that we might become righteousness of God. He became sin. We hear in Galatians how he became a curse so that we might have hope of reconciliation. And so tonight is a sober night for Anglicans in this tradition in this way that we are reminded in no uncertain terms that we are fallen creatures and in need of God and His mercy and grace and forgiveness. And apart from Him reaching down by grace and loving us into a relationship with Himself, there is no hope. But that's exactly what He's done in sending His Son Jesus. Jesus has come to die the death that we deserve to die and to live the life that we could not ever live. It's all the gospel in one symbol. And so when you're imposed with ashes this night, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.